upgrades. You gotta have upgrades. I am ambidextrous in that regard, Lee. It's one of the weird things about me.
Thursday night, it is Ira NFL Draft Party, Watch Party, Ybor City, Big Storm Brewery, upstairs, second floor, Centro Ybor, public parking all around, Big Storm Brewery, brand new location. Check it all out at bigstormbrewery.com. You can see the menu, you can see the beers, follow them on Facebook and other social media. You can see pictures. The Sage is ready.
We are going to have a blast. Big Storm, Ybor City, just recently opened there. Huge venue, great food, fantastic beers. The company's going to be great. I'm working all the tables. If you're there, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to shake hands with your dog. I don't care what you bring. You can bring a python. I'm saying hello. Big Storm, Ybor City, next Thursday, about 7 o'clock, and we're sticking it out through the whole first round of the draft. It's going to be a blast. And watch your tater tots, because when I'm around, it's open season.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The draft countdown is on. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And the star of the show is in the bullpen. He's marching to the mound. He is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. Sage, we're all fired up. We got our draft party coming up. Bill Curry Ford has got 0% financing offers. They've got their new vehicle warranty, lifetime warranty. Bill Curry Ford is dealing the Ira Kaufman podcast in a big way. Just ask General Manager Sean Sullivan for that. Get to their website, see their certified pre-owned, BillCurryFord.com.
If you're looking for a vehicle, no matter what kind, pre-owned, new, whatever, you've got to get over to Bill Curry Ford. 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry, General Manager Sean Sullivan, waiting, just waiting to service you. Nowhere else can you find and deal with the General Manager directly. But that's why Sean Sullivan stands alone.
And Ira, we're always fired up for our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We never want to call them, but when you have that emergency in your home, the mold, the fire, the flood, storm damage, leaks and floods are horrible. You call them first, 24/7, they'll respond.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
And that's what you do. Check them out now, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Bookmark it so you know who to call. Josh Martin, the owner, not only Ira, is he giving people $500 if they call and end up using the service after a free inspection of their property and some advice. If they move forward after they mention Ira Kaufman, they get $500. But Josh is giving away $500 twice. That's $1,000. Florida's Elite Restoration handing over the cash for our Pick the Pick contests at the draft party. That's Thursday night, Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City. We've heard all about it. You'll keep hearing more about it.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Sage, we're all jacked up. I've got some great pre-draft questions for you and Lee. And of course, if you didn't listen to our last podcast yet, it's out on all the platforms and at JoeBucksFan.com. So plenty to catch up on. And we will be talking to you again before the draft, sitting down for our annual mock draft episode with Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, who also doubles as the GM at Bill Curry Ford. I'm not sure what he's better at, the draft stuff or selling cars. I don't know. I don't know.
It's close, Steve. It's damn close.
I got to ask you this. I got to ask you and Lee this. You know, we've had so much focus on the quarterbacks and things that they could do at quarterback and angles to get Hendon Hooker, and we've explored that. But guys, I got to ask you about some of these other positions, because do you think they make an effort in this draft is my first question. Do you think they make an effort to replace Devin White in this draft? This would be the time to do it. Obviously, they consider that position critical. Todd Bowles always says over and over again, got to stop the run. This defense is all about stopping the run. Lavonte David's 33 years old. So that's question number one. Question number two, Ira, is this the year? Is this the year that they finally not only chase a return man in the draft, but actually hit on one?
I don't have any confidence at all. It's like Lee with kickers. with the Buccaneers. The track record tells you very powerfully and controvertibly that they're destined to go the next, 40 years without a good kick returner. And it's just the way it is. I don't like saying it, but the facts are the facts. Where are you, Michael Spurlock? Where are you? If some guy returns a punt 14 yards, Buck Nation goes crazy. If some guy returns a kickoff 29 yards, Buck Nation goes crazy. Port Richey Lou's giving the guy a standing ovation. That's where we are in terms of now. Does that mean they won't try to get one with a seventh-round pick? Yeah, Jason Light's tried it before. Sixth round, seventh round. Hello, Jalen Darden. Hello. How'd that one work out? Perfectly average, nondescript, nothing to see there. Oh, yeah, Steve, they could use a seventh-round flyer on some burner who happens to specialize in returning kicks. Steve, as far as your first point with Devin White, depends who you ask. Lee, if I'm Todd Bowles, all I care about is 2023. That's all I care about. Lee, you go 7-10, you're out of a job. You're out of a job. Glazers move on. Fifth straight losing season. Your history. So why am I worried about trying to replace Devin White after this year or Lavonte David after this year with a premium pick? Doesn't mean I won't take an inside linebacker in the fifth round, but Lee, right now, for this fall, it's not a priority. This fall. Yes, Lavonte David's not going to be here for that long. And Lee, you don't know. Maybe Devin White will have a big year. And they'll give him the money. Could happen. Wouldn't be shocking. Lee, I think they got much bigger priorities at the moment than inside linebacker. And who cares about a kick returner? They don't know how to get one.
Well, to answer Steve's question initially, the question about will they draft a guy to replace Devin White, my answer was going to be, depends if they trade him. And your answer, Ira, convinced me that he won't be traded. Bowles needs wins.
Yes, he does.
He's got a better chance of getting a win or wins with Devin White than he does without Devin White.
He does.
That convinced me right then and there that Devin White's not going anywhere. Now, would I trade him? Yeah. No doubt about it. I'd trade him. You don't want to be here? Fine. There's all kinds of players in this draft that would do backflips to be able to live in Tampa Bay, much less to play for the Bucs. So, yeah, I'd ship his rear end out. Don't want to be here? Fine. We'll get a quarterback. We can find all kinds of guys who can miss tackles and loaf against the Ravens in a tie ball game. That's not that difficult. But he will not be traded. But given your scenario, I never thought of that. Number two, kick returner? Nah.
Who cares, Lee? Who cares? They can't get one.
Everybody cares. All Bucs fans care, but will a long-standing issue be resolved? No.
Now, Lee, to be fair, unless I'm misreading Devin White, I don't think he's got anything against his teammates, the front office, ownership, the franchise in particular. It's all about the money. Lee, he's not the first good player who wants to get paid, so maybe you're going a little strong on dumping him. Just because he wants a contract, he's not ripping his teammates, Lee.
Well, as you pointed out, Derek Brooks wanted the contract, but he didn't demand to get traded.
No.
He didn't use the term, he's fed up, quote-unquote, fed up. You know, hey, guy says he wants to be traded and he's fed up? Cool. It's not like they're talking about trading Derek Brooks or Lawrence Taylor here.
Ira, the crux of the question is about replacing him. Doesn't mean that it has to be now or down the road, but do you think there's any fear that, hey, White shows up a week before week one and maybe he's grumpy, he's missed training camp. Yeah, he knows the defense and he held out as long as he wanted to. And, maybe he's not fully committed or he's not going to be sharp until later in the season. I mean, we've seen guys sit out a game, two games before. Do you think that they're concerned about that in any way?
Steve, not to the extent that they would use a pick in the first three rounds, unless they get extra picks, move down and get extra picks. It's a different story. But if they stick to their original list, I wouldn't say the word waste a second-round pick on an inside linebacker. That's too strong. But I would not use a second-round pick on an inside linebacker when they need so much help in the trenches. So much help. They need another running back. We all know that. They need a nickel corner. Todd Bowles wants one desperately. So, you know, could they take, you know, if they have two fifth-round picks and use one for an inside linebacker that Jason Light and the scouts really like? Fine. But they're not going to take one in the second round, Lee.
Hey, Ira, you think there's a chance here that Jason Light pulls a Bill Belichick of years past and just keeps trading down and stockpiles picks and tries to find his way to, you know, maneuvering to get 4 second-round picks this year, guys he thinks that can start and inject a lot of competition around the team and hope he strikes some gold? Do you think we could see something like that, or no?
I don't think that's a far-fetched scenario. I don't.
Why not?
Because they got a lot of holes to fill, as opposed to other years. And I think the value in this particular draft isn't necessarily in the first round. Lee, I think there's players to be had, cornerbacks, running backs, offensive linemen, that I think Jason Light would be very happy to acquire on the second and third rounds on the second day of the draft. I can see it, Steve. I don't think there's a guy glaringly at 19 that Jason Light is saying, we got to have that guy. I don't think there is. Whereas in years past, we have to get one of those 4 offensive tackles. We absolutely have to come away with one of them. And they did, and they got the best one, Lee. So I don't see them trading up. I think it's a lot more likely, Lee, they move back, I think.
First off, when you talk about got to have that tackle, little different circumstance this year. Back when Tristan Wirfs was drafted, they were shooting for a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So they don't got to have another Tristan Wirfs right now. They don't, you know, they can second round, third round, whatever. So the urgency is not there. The urgency was there 3 years ago. Steve, this question you bring up is very, 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 very interesting, the way you framed it, and very timely. And here's why. I know you guys get sick of me always referencing Michael Lombardi, but I find his takes very, very compelling, very interesting. This is a perfect example. I was listening to Lombardi's podcast coming back from Tampa, and he said, generally speaking, in a draft, you start with around 17. This year he was thinking 20. But
right,
late teens, early 20s, there's a drop-off every year in that range. And from, again, his range, from 17 to 20 down to 45, those guys are all on the same level. So he said, you're better off trading out of the first round. That way, if a guy works out, you're not stuck with an expensive fifth-year option.
You know, he does make a lot of sense, Lee. Is that the podcast? I thought I heard him for a couple of minutes talking about how he thinks the 49ers are trying to manufacture interest in Trey Lance. Is that the same podcast?
Yeah. He said John Lynch of the plant from John Lynch. The connection with Steve's question, the way he framed it, you know, is Jason Light going to pull a Belichick? Well, guess who Lombardi worked for? Belichick.
You know, Steve, if you're going to move up, you know, significantly, usually it's for a quarterback. And I'm starting to think, I think there's a general feeling at One Buck Place, whether it's right or wrong, we're going to roll with Mayfield and Trask. We're going to roll with them. You know, we'll get a couple of, training camp fodder guys in that, you know, probably aren't going to make the team. Leah, you getting that impression? I don't think they're interested in a Trey Lance. Now look, if you can get Lamar Jackson, you know, for a second round pick, I'm doing it. I understand that. But I think the Bucs are genuine about Mayfield and Trask. Those are their guys right now, and I think that's going to be the two going to training camp.
I sort of lean to what you're saying, Ira, not fully sold, because I don't know if they're trying to sell the fan base on this or not. But Bowles said, when Bowles was talking to Steve and how many dozens of other reporters at the table in Arizona, Steve, I'm being facetious when I say that. he said something to the effect of, we got a plan. We've got a plan. What exactly he was referencing, I don't know, but that stuck in my head.
to me, Steve, Trey Lance doesn't make any sense.
No, we touched on that a little bit in the last podcast, Ira. It is a little odd, though, that there's only two quarterbacks here right now. First of all, Bowles said in the offseason that he wanted to bring in two veterans. He said the number two. And so far, we only got one. And I think that's a little bit strange, especially since, hey, if you want, what are you waiting for? Especially with a new offensive coordinator, let everybody learn together. Number two, Ira, we didn't touch on it, but I think it's fine to do that now. Yes, they let Blaine Gabbert walk, and I'm sure when his Chiefs contract comes out to back up Patrick Mahomes, it's not going to be for much money, but you would think that that means something, that they didn't want him around after they liked his work ethic and all this stuff. And they were all glowing talking about him. Maybe just Gabbert said, hey, I got a shot to play for the Chiefs. I'm out of here. That's possible. But I'm interested, Ira, whether you think they're going to draft a late round quarterback, which you would think Bowles would want to do. And I say that because if Bowles drafts a late round quarterback this year, and you know Jason Light does, and the guy is one of these, hey, this is the guy, or this could be the guy, this fifth rounder, man, he looks good, that could help save Bowles' job down the road. And they need a third quarterback, so I'm thinking that they are really looking hard at a fifth, sixth, seventh round quarterback. What do you think, Ira?
Not crazy, Steve. And another reason, another motivation to stockpile draft picks. So you have the flexibility, you know, if you only got one fifth round pick, you're reluctant to take a flyer on a quarterback that's, you know, got a 15% chance to even make the roster. Lee, if you're overflowing with picks, you've got flexibility. And each single pick, you know, weighs a little bit less, you know, in terms of making a mistake. You throw numbers at the board. I think it's very, very likely that Light stockpiles picks. He's not famous for doing it, but I think it calls for it. And as far as taking a quarterback, Steve, quarterbacks save jobs. You're not wrong. Now, is that fifth-round guy going to come in and beat out Mayfield and Trask? Who knows what happens during our season? Lee, injuries all over the place at the quarterback position. Maybe you give a guy a chance in week seven. We'll see what happens. But Steve's main point is right. Lee, if you hit on one of those guys, that's going to look very, very good to the guys that signed the checks.
Oh, sure. And you know, let's be realistic here. What's the chance of that happening? 5%? For every Brock Purdy, there's like four dozen Dennis Dixons.
Yeah.
Hey, Ira, it's not often talked about, and there's a reason why I'm not diving into a bunch of players here. I could throw out a couple of names, a late-round quarterbacks. We're going to get more into the specifics in our next podcast when we really get into the mock draft and some positional stuff, and we're with Sean Sullivan, and he's got all the names, and we can go back and forth a little bit. So, I mean, I'm being intentional here by just talking conceptually here. So I'm going to continue on the conceptual front and say that, you know, a tight end, I think most fans, or just in general, it's being really ignored. The Bucs need at tight end, and especially considering how they want to run this team with the run-first mentality and you know all the things that a good tight end can give. Now, Jason Light, when I sat down with him in Phoenix and I asked him about Cade Otton, I mean, he really believes Cade Otton is that three-down guy. I mean, Light emphasized it again. We've talked on this podcast how, you know, we know Light, you know, and we can sort of read between the lines sometimes. I'm not saying Light is right. I'm saying that Light believes that Otton is, you know, had a good rookie season as rookies go. And I asked him point blank, can he be that blocking tight end guy, that true three down guy? And he said absolutely and was, you know, talked about it. However, I'm not sure they're really sold on it. And a tight end to me really fits the team in a lot of ways because they, aside from the fact that they don't have any depth, plus, you know, they're saying that there's a lot of depth at tight end here. Light said it himself. What do you think? And where do you think it would go?
I would be surprised if they don't draft a tight end. I don't think they're going to take one at 19, Lee. But I'm not completely sold on Lee. The last 5 weeks of the season, he didn't do anything. I stumbled across his numbers a couple of weeks ago. The guy might have had 90 yards in receiving yards in the last 5 weeks of the year and didn't score a touchdown. in that span. You know, he wasn't bad as a rookie, Lee, but I didn't see enough to say, now, wait a minute. This is going to be our tight end that's going to play 85% of the snaps. I didn't see that from Cade Otton. This is a very good tight end draft. Are they going to get the best tight end? No, they got other needs, other priorities. But I think it's 6, 7, 8 deep at tight end in terms of guys that can contribute and have a chance to be darn good players in this league. And I think Light's going to walk away with one of them. And the guy better be able to block, Lee. You know, one thing we haven't really talked about, and I don't want to dwell on it, but it's worth mentioning. The running game, which hasn't been good for a long time, guys, but it was particularly abysmal last year. And guess who wasn't on the team? 87. And, Lee, maybe they don't run to the right behind Wirfs and Gronkowski as much as we would if we were the offensive coordinator, but still. Gronkowski's one of the great all-around tight ends ever, and a fierce blocker. And they missed him last year. Down the field, they missed him on the line of scrimmage. Now, look, you're not going to get the next Gronkowski. I understand that. But, Lee, I think they're walking away with a tight end out of this draft.
I think so, too, only for the same reason that Steve's saying. You know, Jason Light can tell us that Cade Otton is the next Jimmy Giles. Well, you and I, we'd sure like to see it. I understand rookie tight ends. You don't get much out of it. I get it. I fully understand that. And as a receiver, I've seen enough. I think he can get the job done. As a blocker, I need to see more. And, you know, they only have two tight ends right now. I'm a big Coe Keith fan, but he's not very good at blocking defensive ends. Linebackers, he buries them, and it's awesome to watch. But defensive ends, it's a little uphill climb for him. And I know a lot of people would say, you know, don't you have a tight end block a defensive end? I understand that. But once in a while, you would like your tight end to be able to slow a guy down a little bit, a defensive end. So yep. I don't think the Bucs are remotely set at tight end just because of depth, that alone. And given the fact that it's so deep, I would think they're going to get a tight end at some point. Although I remember the Bucs had a need at a position, a very big need, you know, bigger than tight end, and they waited and they waited and they waited, and they almost put Sean Sullivan in the hospital waiting, and they wind up drafting running back Snoop Dogg McPlaybook.
Sage, what we have heard from the Bucs over and over and over again, and I believe it because it's sort of obvious, but you know, Bowles being a defensive coach, I certainly believe it. They've said over and over again, not only do they want to get faster, but they believe they have to get more physical. Bowles has said that himself a couple of times. Jason Light's been a little...
Light said it too.
So, I mean, if you're going to get more physical, where is that going to be? I mean, it's got to be where guys can be physical, and you need a tight end. They're short, and I think the investment there might come a little bit bigger, especially since I feel that they can... that it's a multi-threat kind of position, and they don't even know what this offense is going to look like or what the strengths of the quarterbacks are going to be or what the running game is going to look like. I mean, at this point, if they don't get a running back they want or they don't go early, I mean, I understand there's still guys on the street, but you could have high ankle sprain of Rashad White, and then what do you got at running back? You know, there's some really exciting tight ends here. If you're going to get more physical and you don't take a tight end, then you're full of crap. And it'll be interesting. We'd have some fun saying, hey, they said they were going to get more physical, and they grab the tight end in the 7th round who looks like Tim Wright from years ago.
You're not wrong about the tight end spot, but, Lee, when Light talks about physicality, what I thought he was talking about primarily were the guys up front and whoever's going to be blocking for Mayfield / Trask this fall, particularly maybe at the guard spots, Lee. That's physicality, nastiness, you know, a 315 pounder that you can run behind. You know, you're not always going to find Zach Martin and Quentin Nelson, and I understand that, Lee. They need upgrades, Lee. You got to have upgrades on the offensive line. You got Wirfs. Lee, I can't claim that with 100% certainty, Lee, that Jensen's going to be the previous Ryan Jensen. I don't know that, Lee.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's another concern up front. And look, I'm counting Jensen as a certainty, you know, along with Wirfs, and maybe that's an exaggeration. But I'm looking at the guard spots, Lee. You need a mauler. Give me a road grader, Lee. I don't care if you call him a hog molly. I don't care what the hell you call the guy. And I've been focusing on this Cody Mauch guy from North Dakota State, Lee. We'll see. I just think he fits the light profile. He's missing two teeth. But what he ain't missing is, the desire to put a guy on his ass. Light likes physicality. He likes it. I don't think they had much of it last year.
Well, what's interesting about the guards is Steve and I have spoken with, my gosh, I don't know how many offensive assistant coaches. And I think you're aware of this, Ira. The Bucks go bananas when you even suggest that Robert Hainsey may not be an NFL guard. They just freak out. It triggers them. They absolutely go bananas. So I don't think they're actually actively looking to get rid of him the way they react. I mean, it's like, how dare you say that? I mean, they get triggered when you say that. And I know the fans have been trying to get rid of Hainsey for a year. And just as much as the fans want to get rid of him, the Bucks want him in the lineup. And I don't think Jason Light's close to being ready to give it up on Luke Getke. I really don't. So you factor those elements in, I don't see them going for a guard high. I don't. Now, another thing I agree with you, Ira, you know, this attitude, I want this guy ornery and nasty. I just want the guy to block. If you can block, then you can act like an idiot. If you can't block, don't act like some, you know, street mauler. Block. Just block. That's all I ask. Just block.
I'm putting your feet on the fire, Ira. Because we really haven't hit this angle of it. We've talked all about Tristan Wirfs, but my question to you is, do you believe that Todd Bowles wants Tristan Wirfs to play left tackle? Do you believe Jason Light wants him to play left tackle? Now, they've said he may go there. Todd Bowles told me to my face that no decision will be made on Wirfs until after the draft, and that's held true. He told me that a long time ago. So here we are. What do you believe that Todd Bowles wants? Do they want Wirfs to move to the left side? Do they have a grand plan? Because it's very odd for a team to be like, well, maybe, we'll see. You know, I mean, this is an all-pro right tackle here, Ira. We need an answer.
My answer is he stays at right tackle. That's my answer. And I just made the Kemper's day. It's not easy, guys.
No.
As great an athlete as Wirfs is, it's not that easy. It has been done, but I think it's failed more than it's succeeded. Now, Wirfs is rare. He's a rare bird. I understand that. But there's a lot of different, you know, it's different with your stance. It's different with your hand movements. It's not that simple. And to Lee's point, the guy's probably the best right tackle in football, with all due respect to Lane Johnson.
I mean,
the guy, if I'm Todd Bowles, Jason, go find me a left tackle. We're keeping Wirfs where he is.
Ira, I just punched the wall three times here. I'm asking you, what does Todd Bowles want? Does Todd Bowles, not what you think he wants, what does he want? Does he want Bowles, let Wirfs to be a right tackle? And if so, why are they playing this game?
I think they're unsure because they don't know what they're going to get in the draft, Lee.
Bingo.
Suppose they draft a stud left tackle at 19. Not crazy. They could very well do it. And give the guy first shot at being the left tackle. Donovan Smith started as a rookie, Lee, in 2015. Okay. They didn't waste any time with Donovan Smith. He wasn't the 19th pick in the draft. They started him, and he was pretty good. And by the way, that season, when Donovan Smith was a rookie, along with Marpet as a rookie and a rookie quarterback, the Bucs had a hell of a running game. I think Wirfs stays at right tackle, and I think Bowles will be happy if that happens.
Oh, I think Ira nailed it about the draft. It's, you know, Bowles, when he said we'll decide after the draft, well, they'll know at that point. If they draft the left tackle, Wirfs stays. If they draft the right tackle, Wirfs flips. Now, I got a question for Ira. Who's the last all-pro right tackle to flip to the left side that had success? I'm thinking Orlando Brown, is that right?
Orlando Brown did do it. But I'll tell you the truth, Lee. You know, I watch my Chiefs very closely. I thought he was way overrated as a left tackle. I thought he got beat off the snap time and again. Ooh. And if it wasn't for Mahomes, you know, who's fantastic about avoiding sacks and with his mobility, I think Brown would have been embarrassed many a game. So I think he's overpaid. I don't know how he got this new contract, but I just told Joe Henderson, who's a great Bengal fan, that be careful what you wish for. It's not easy to go from right to left, and Brown showed me that exact thing.
Didn't Werf say going from right to left tackle is like wiping your rear end with your left hand?
Well, let's not get into that, Lee, because I am ambidextrous in that regard, Lee. It's one of the weird things about me.
Just one.
Just one.
I had hand surgery once on my right hand, and it was an ordeal.
Ira, C-U-R-R-I-E, that is how you spell Curry. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name. 63-plus years in Tampa. They've got 40-something active charities. They're community legends, and they're there for you. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium and online, BillCurryFord.com. Order your Ford Bronco today. F-150, so many great vehicles. Just check them out, BillCurryFord.com. And thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Your first phone call whenever you have a disaster at your property or your business, they will hook you up, and they are on your side, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Sage, you know, it's crazy times. This Tristan Wirfs thing, in my mind, the reason that they've even spoken that he might move, I think, honestly, is a bit of a tip-off that they've got one or two left tackles that they've decided, if we draft these guys, then we're keeping them at right tackle. If we don't, we'll move them. I just keep it very simple like that, because otherwise, why would they even be saying this?
You make sense, Steve. They're hesitating. They're fudging it. Lee, if you're determined to move, you know, a great player like Wirfs to the left side, you just say it. You say Wirfs is going to the left side. They're not doing that. And it's got to be because, let's see who they draft in the premium round. It's got to be.
And especially, Sage, I'm glad you brought that up, because if they did want to move Wirfs, wouldn't you have literally said, hey, we can't coach you in the offseason, but wink, wink, this guy is a fantastic private offensive line coach. Might want to go study with him for a month and learn the left side. But they didn't seem to do that either. I think Wirfs was being honest, saying I've been working both sides in my, you know, on my own, but he hasn't been out there with a trainer or anything like that we know of. It's a little bit bizarre, Ira, but it might just be one or two guys they're targeting, and if not, he'll be at left tackle. We'll see. It'll be quite a decision, though, that could define the Bulls administration, along with many, many others. Ira, before we get out of here on this short version of the Ira Kaufman podcast, we've touched on this before, but the clock continues to tick, and teams have started, every NFL team has started with its off-season program. And I got to ask you, Ira, there's a lot of guys, and I understand that they've made a lot of money, and they can afford to sit out, and they're veterans, and they probably are sitting on some small offers. But man, it seems like there's a lot of bucks just sitting on the sideline from last season, too many, where it really tells a story of maybe the talent level wasn't very well respected. I mean, here we are right before the draft, and you know, we've seen the Bucks rush to get some guys in, like this Matt Filer, who they're paying about $3 million. But here we got Akeem Hicks, we've got Golston, we've got Leonard Fournette, we've got Logan Ryan, and there's more who are just on the sideline, Ryan Succop and others. Just your thought on that, Donovan Smith, the list goes on.
Steve, you're right. I mean, I was the first one to mention it about 3 weeks ago. I mean, it really struck me. Now, it's hard to believe. Lee, we're 6 weeks into free agency. We're not 6 days. We're 6 weeks into free agency. And Steve just rattled off a bunch of guys. There's even some more that haven't been picked up. It doesn't speak well in some sense to, you know, the guys that were starting for the 2022 Buccaneers. It doesn't. A lot of these guys were starters. A lot of these guys played a lot of snaps. I don't know what's going on with Akeem Hicks. I don't know what's going on with Donovan Smith. Where's Fournette? You know, Fournette's not 33 years old, Lee. He's got some wear and tear. It's not inordinate. It's not Derrick Henry wear and tear. I don't know whether these guys are asking for too much money, Lee, but I don't know. You can't help but think, gee, you know, around the league, the perception of these players that played prominent roles for the Bucs last season, it's very questionable. What's going on? What's your explanation, Lee?
I think it's pretty obvious. You know, good players that are wanted aren't sitting on the street playing chess with someone else. Now, I think with Donovan Smith, you know, we've talked about this before. I think that he's probably playing it smart. You know, all it takes is for one left tackle to go down in training camp. All of a sudden, he's the one that gets to make the demands, not the team. And his practice was up. So I think he's playing it smart, very smart. There's not a whole hell of a lot of guys, veteran left tackles, on the street that have both blocked for a 1,000-yard rusher and two separate quarterbacks who threw for 5,000 yards. Not too many left tackles like that. So I think he's playing it smart. You know, wait for some guy to get hurt, then you dictate the terms because you got someone desperate.
It's interesting, Ira. I mean, we'll see how it shakes out at the end. I agree with Lee. But it is pretty wild that a week into free agency, the Giants, who are actually a good team now, they pounced all over Raheem Nunez Roaches for $4 million a year, multi-year contract. And we got all these other guys sitting on the street, including Brashad Perriman and others. You know, it makes you wonder, but you have to see how it plays out in the end, Ira. But yes, the teams have reported, and at least your guy Blaine Gabbert got a job, Ira. So you just know that Lee and I, at some point, we're going to buy you a Blaine Gabbert Chiefs jersey for you to walk around Newport Richey.
Well, in my opinion, you should be wearing 00. That's what I say.
Draft party Thursday night, Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, Centro Ybor, second floor, huge place. Beautiful place, brand new. This isn't just some, they turned a shoebox into a bar. No, this is a fantastic place. Get to bigstormbrewery.com. That's the website. You can see all the tap rooms and, of course, study the menu at Big Storm Brewery and get there early, 7 o'clock. We'll be hanging out, going all the way through the draft. First pick is at 8 p.m., and, of course, we're going to have our Pick the Pick contest. That's going to be the Bucks pick. And a second contest, $1,000 in real dollars, not phony dollars, real dollars from Florida's Elite Restoration for the winners. Fired up about that. And just good time, Ira.
It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. And don't forget, Steve, a couple of days before that, we're going to get together with Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. And you talk about breaking down the draft. The highs, the lows, who fits the Bucs profile and the Bucs priorities and needs with Sean Sullivan. I'm looking forward to that, too.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, the four of us doing that. It's always a great podcast and go through the mock draft. And I really look forward to looking Sean in the face and say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. What the hell are you talking about, Sullivan? We have a lot of fun with that. All right, Lee, I'm going to give you a final thought. You got a final thought, Lee?
No, I really don't, other than I'm looking forward to getting together with Sean Sullivan. He's all hyped up these days. This is his time of year.
If you want draft details on every last player, listen to the Best in Class podcast. It's out there on the platforms. Sean goes into everybody, Ira. You got to listen to one of these days. I listen to all of them, Ira. You got to listen to one of them so you're ready for next week. All right.
I don't put it past Sullivan to nail the Buck pick at 19. I think he's got a good chance to do it.
Hey, he did it with Tryon, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if they even pick at 19, Ira. Imagine if they don't even pick in the first round like they did last year. Crazy stuff. All right, we're out.